Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Ayin Vav. Elisha left off yesterday on the second line of Ayin Vav Amar Aleph. We might backtrack just a bit to get back into the flow of things. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Ala Shalom, the Neshava Shraven Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Dr. Yosef Gervich, in honor of his wife and children. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to discuss is picking up on yesterday's discussion, where we asked the stira between the Reisha and the Seifa of our Mishnah. And this stira between the Reisha and the Seifa of our Mishnah goes back all the way to the beginning of our Masechta, where we had this machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, whether we believe the husband, or whether we believe the wife, or we say lo mipia anuchayin, that we don't believe the wife. And it seems that in our Mishnah we have conflicting messages, whether we hold like Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Yeshua. So we had two answers yesterday. We're going to finish up the discussion in the aftermath of the second answer, and then we'll have a third answer today as well to that stira. Then the Gemara is going to compare our suffik, meaning the case in our Mishnah is that she has a mum, and we're not sure when that mum developed, and it's certainly in the husband's best interest to say that that mum developed prior to the Kiddushin and that he was fooled and it was a mekach taus. Whereas the woman is saying, no, I just developed this mum after we're already married. Now I'm your wife, and once I'm your wife, if she gets a mum, you got to deal with it. There's nothing, there's no easy out. So we're going to compare that to a case of a mekach umemkar case, where someone is machlif parah b'chamar, and we're not sure when, if I do a chalipin on an amkona, a chamar, by doing a mashicha on a parah right now, so I'm being by the other guy doing a mashicha on a parah right now, I'm kona the chamar, but then we go visit the chamar and he's dead when we get there. So I don't know, did he die before the kinyan or did the chamar die after the kinyan? Makes a big difference in terms of the money, in terms of whether that kinyan was ever chal in the first place. So then the gemara is going to have a discussion about that comparison, and then we're going to compare that case to a case of a suffik treifa, where you find that an animal has a treifa, but you're not sure, was that treifa there before you purchased the animal from the butcher, or was the treifa there not before? Because if you bought an animal, b'cheskas, and it's not a treifa, and it turns out to be a treifa, you could claim mekach taus. But if you bought a perfectly healthy animal, and then while you owned it, it became a treifa, that's not the butcher's problem, that's going to be your problem. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss what kind of mum epilepsy is. Is that considered a mum sheba seser or a mum sheba gully? Do we assume that since a person can have a seizure at any time, that's something people would have known about? Or do we assume that since it's only sporadic that a person has a seizure, maybe the husband would not have known about it and that it is considered a mum sheba seser? So let's begin. So Elisha left us off already on the second line of Ein Vav Amar Aleph. Let's just backtrack just a bit to Ella Mishanis Arsa, which is last one line is Ella, five lines from the end of the page on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Bey. So again, just to get us back into what the discussion was, there was a machlokas from Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua back in the first parak of this Masechta, on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. If a person, if a couple gets married and the husband comes with a taina that she was not a basula, and the woman says, "Of course I'm not a basula, because after we already had erusin, I was raped. I was nansa after the erusin, but it was after the erusin. So the time of the erusin, at the time of the Kiddushin, I was a basula. I did not misrepresent what I was, and therefore you owe me the full Masayim Zuz of the Ksuba." And the husband says, "No, maybe I believe that you were Nansa, but maybe that happened before the Erisin, and therefore you misrepresented yourself, and the whole Mekach is a Mekach Taus." So according to Ram Gamliel, the woman is believed, and the husband owes Masayim Zuz. Whereas Rabbi Shua says, "No, lo mipia anu chayin. We don't believe the woman. The husband is not chayiv masayim zuz unless the woman is able to bring edim that she was nansa after the erusin." So what are they arguing about? So back there in Daf Yud Beis, we had two explanations of what the machlokas was, but our Gemara assumes the second of those two explanations. The second explanation of what they're arguing about is that Rav Gamliel holds the woman is believed with a tainas bari that she was nansa after the erusin, because there's a cheskas haguf that supports her taina. Certainly certainly she was born a Basula. So we have every right to assume she remained a Basula for as long as possible, till the latest possible moment, till after the Kiddushin. So that Cheskas HaGuf carries the day. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, yes, she may have a Cheskas HaGuf, but there's a more powerful Chazaka, and that is the husband's Cheskas Mamon. He's the one that's in possession of all of his money. You want to get Masayim Zuz out of him, he has a Cheskas Mamon, and the Cheskas, we cannot be Mechayiv him to pay the money, because the Cheskas Mamon is stronger than the Cheskas HaGuf. So it turns out that both Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua agree that there are competing Chazakas over here. Their whole Machlokas is, which Chazaka is stronger? Is the woman's Cheskas HaGuf stronger, or is the man's Cheskas Mamon stronger? So the Gemara discusses, so the Gemara raises the question that in our Mishnah, it seems to be a stira between the Reisha and the Seifa, which Shita we're following, that the Cheskas Mamon or the Cheskas HaGuf is stronger. Because in our Mishnah, they're arguing about when she developed a mum. There's a Cheskas HaGuf in that case as well. She was born without the mum, and therefore you assume that the mum developed at a later point in time. Whereas you have a Cheskas Mamon, the husband is in, it has all the money that you're trying to get from him for the ksuba. So it's the same issue. So the first answer was Reb Lazar's answer, where he said, it's not a stira in our Mishnah. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. Both opinions are represented in our Mishnah. It's a machlokas in our Mishnah. And then the second answer was Rava's answer, where Rava said, Kanimtsu Kan Hayu. And in both cases, in the Reisha and the Seifa, the Reisha is talking about where she was still Bereshus Ha'av. And since we found, because it was after the Erizin, but she was still Bereshus Ha'av. And since that's where we found the mum, we assume that's where the mum initially developed, whereas the Seifa is where the mum was found after they already had Nisuin, and therefore Kanimtsu Kanayu, we assume that that's where the mum developed. But somewhere along the way, Rava then added another Chazaka, where he said you have a Chazaka Ein Adam Shosa Bekos, that a person would not marry a woman Elam Ken Botka without first checking her out, without first making sure that she didn't have any movement. So the Gemara assumes that, or thinks perhaps, that Rava changed his mind, that originally he thought that the Cheskas HaGuf is what's machria, that the Cheskas HaGuf is more powerful, and now he holds that the Chazaka in Adam Shosa Bekos is machria, that he never would have done this without checking her out. So says Gemara, no, Ella Mishan Sarsa, the reason the husband is not Neman with the taina that the mum happened Mishan Sarsa after the Erisin is Mishum Deika Tarti Chazaka. It's really a numbers game. It's that you have a double Chazaka that support the husband's taina the father's taina that the husband owes the entire ksuba. First of all, you have the Cheskas HaGuf of the girl Hemid HaGuf al Cheskaso. Assume that she was born without this mum, and therefore we assume that the mum developed at the latest possible time, which would have been after the Erisin. And then you have a second Chazaka, a Chazaka in Adam Shosa Bekos Elim came botko, that even if the mum was there beforehand, we have a chazaka he would have known about it because he would have done the proper research, and therefore hayra avinifayasu, the husband must have known about this mum and accepted the mum. So my amrit, what are you going to respond? Meaning now the father has two chazakas on his side: a chazaka that the girl was born without a mum, plus a chazaka that the husband never would have gotten involved without checking it out in the first place, so he must have been okay with it. So my amrit, what are you going to say? A chazaka on the other side, chazaka in other mefayis b'mumin, a chazaka that people generally don't overlook mumin, that they don't come to grips in their mind with, okay, I'll be married to a balas mum, that people typically are not okay with that. Well, havi chad b'makom tarti, and chad b'makom tarti lo amrinan. You have two chazakas supporting the father's taina, one chazaka supporting the husband's taina. So the two chazakas supporting the father's taina outweigh the one chazaka supporting the husband's taina. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, the Cheskas Mamun is batal when there's a Cheskas HaGuf, and therefore you cannot be mitztarif that to the Chazaka of Einad Mispayis B'mumin. Meaning, in Rabbi Gamliel's view, meaning you might say, well, the husband has two Chazakas also, because he has a Chazaka that Einad Mispayis B'mumin, and also a Chazaka that the Cheskas Mamun. But Rabbi Gamliel's view is we ignore the Cheskas Mamun in place of a Cheskas HaGuf. We already know Cheskas HaGuf versus Cheskas Mamun. Cheskas Cheskas Haguf wins according to Rabbi Gamliel. So you have the Cheskas Haguf plus the Chazaka that Ein Adam Shosa Bekos versus the Chazaka of Ein Adam Mefayes, and that's a 2-1 fight, and therefore the father wins. However, Ad Shalot Esares, when Edom are made, that she already had these movement before the Erisin, where we said that the husband does not have to pay the Ksuba if he brings such a Raya that was there before the Erisin. So Hemed Al Guf, that's because Hemed Al Guf Al Cheskaso, we have a Chazaka that the Mumin were not there before the Erisin, Loik Al Meimer, but you can't say such a Chazaka anymore, because now we know that the Mumin were there before the Erisin. So now you've lost one of the father's Chazakos. Once he's able to bring Edom that the Mumin were there prior to the Erisin, the Chazaka that the Mum developed later is no longer operative. So Ma'ika, so therefore, what's the woman's claim? How could the woman claim her Ksuba? Chazaka de Nodon Shos Begos Elam Ken Botko. The only Chazaka she has on her side, or the father has on his side, is that the guy never would have married her without doing proper research, without checking whether she had a Mum. V'hai Rav Nefayesus. Obviously, he did his proper research, and he knew that she had a Mum, and he was okay with it. Well, Adrab, contrary to that Chazaka, we have a Chazaka in Adam Fayez B'mumin. We have a Chazaka that Ein Adam Fayez B'mumin, that people don't come to grips and come to peace with the fact that their wife is a Balas Mum. And therefore, all that's left is Vehemin Mammon al Cheskaso. Then we go back to the Cheskas Mammon, meaning once we're able to neutralize the Cheskas Haguf and say that Cheskas Haguf is worthless, so now you have a Cheskas Mammon on the husband's side, and you have two competing Chazakos of Chazaka that Ein Adam Shos B'Kos Elam Kein Botko, that's countered, that's balanced by the Chazaka of Ein Adam Mefayes B'Mumin, so you stick with the Cheskas Mammon, and the husband's Cheskas Mammon is what's going to win. Okay, so that was the end of the discussion of answer number two. Now answer number three, to be Miyashiv, the two dinim in our Mishnah, Rav Ashi Amar, the Mishnah is entirely like Rav Gamliel, that the Cheskas Haguf always overpowers the Cheskas Mammon, and therefore the Kan Nimtzu Kan Hayu is not going to be ruin the Cheskas Haguf. Reisha Manala Abba Biyadecha. In the Reisha, it's the father that's entitled to the Ksuba. The Mumin are found while she's still the base of Via, and therefore the Ksuba would go to the father. So she's claiming the Ksuba on behalf of her father. She's not going to get the Ksuba herself anyway, and the Cheskas Haguf is not going to help her unless she's claiming the Ksuba for herself. And Seifa Manali Biyadecha. The Seifa so much she's already Nichnas to the Rishus Abal, where she's entitled to the Ksuba. So Cheskas Haguf does overpower Cheskas Mammon, but Cheskas Haguf is only operative when it's she who's claiming the money, not when it's the father who's claiming the money. So ask the Gemara, Eisvei Ravacha Breid Ravavia LeRavashi, that the Brisa says that even Rabbi Meir, who holds that when she's nichnas into the Rishus Abal and she has Mumin, the husband has to bring a Raya, Moda Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Meir would be Moda, but Mumin Aru'in Lovo Imami Besavia, that Mumin, which we assume this means, Mumin that are not, that cannot be found even with some research. And therefore, they're likely to make it, she's likely to make it into the Beis Habal with such Mumin, to sneak such Mumin past the husband, even if the husband did all of his research. So in such a case where she has such Mumin, Shala Avla Havi Raya, that if the husband claims that these Mumin must have been there before the Erisin, the father has to bring the Raya that they were not there before the Erisin, and without the father bringing a Raya, the husband is not going to be obligated to pay the Ksuba. But according to you, that the Cheskas Haguf only helps when the Cheskas Haguf is a Chazaka on the Toveya themselves, on the woman herself who's claiming the Ksuba. V'amai, why don't we force the husband to pay the Ksuba even without Edim, that the woman came after the Erisin? Because Manali Bialchu, after all, she's when she's already in the Sua, she's saying Manali Bialcha, I am entitled to the money. So why doesn't her Cheskas Haguf help over here? Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, that even after Nisuin, if it's the kind of mum she could have easily snuck past him, all of a sudden the burden of proof shifts. But the Svara doesn't work, because if you're going to say that as long as she's claiming the money for herself, her Cheskas Haguf is going to give her Ne'amanos, why does the burden of proof shift onto her? The burden of proof should remain on the husband. So says Marno, Hachmai Askinan. No, the type of mum we're talking about is not the type of mum that could have easily been snuck past the husband. When we said a mum that's Ro'i Lovo Imam Besavia is Biaseris, it's so much she has an extra digit, she has an extra toe, not an extra finger, because that he really should have looked. at some point at her hands, but she has that she has an extra toe. So that mum, clearly, we know when it developed. She was born with it. No one, wakes up one morning and says, oh, look at that. I grew an extra toe. Right? That was obviously something that she was born with. So therefore, the husband is Neman, that it's a Mekach Ta'us, and he's put from the Ksuba until the father is able to bring a Raya. So it says the Gemara, but Yisaris, my Raya Maisi. What kind of Raya is he going to bring? Meaning, everyone knows, this. She was born with this. You can't bring a Raya that this came later on. So it's Yevshah for him to bring a Raya. So says Ravashi, Raya the Rav in Ifayasu. No, he just has to bring a raya that she used to walk around the house barefoot when he was visiting, and that he saw that she had an extra digit and he didn't care, and that he was perfectly fine with it. It was cute when they were dating. Now all of a sudden it's gross, right? So that's the raya that he has to bring. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a statement of Shmuel that relates to this, meaning a case of a different suffix that relates to the suffix of when a girl developed a mum. Amar Rabbi Yomar Shmuel, Hamachlof Parah B'Chamar. If two people are transacting a para for a chamar, they're switching, they're trading a para for a chamar, but they don't have both animals present at the time of the transaction. Umashach bala chamar es hapara. So the guy who previously owned the chamar does a maisa kinyan on the para. The para is the only animal that's here. The chamar is somewhere else. So he does a kinyan on the para. At the moment that he's doing this kinyan on the para, the kinyan is chal the other way on the chamar, wherever it may be. So if Ruvain is being moshech the para, Shimon now becomes the proud owner of the chamar. But v'lo hispik bala para limsho ches chamar acha meis chamar. So now the Shimon goes to go claim his chamar, and he goes to where the chamar is, and he finds that the chamar is dead. But they don't know when the chamar died. If the chamar died before the transaction, he can say, give me back my para. There was no transaction over here, because we were supposed to be machlif a live para for a live chamar. But if the chamar died afterwards, well then it's nistach v'sadeh. You know, he's out of luck, because he already was the owner of the chamar at the time that it died. Salbala chamar lahavi raya shay chamar ukayim b'shas mashichas para. The original owner of the donkey has to bring a raya that donkey was still alive at the time that he did the mashicha on the para. And then Shmuel added, and this is why it relates to our sugya, v'tana tunakala. And if you want a clear raya that's true, that the baal hachamar has to bring a raya that his chamar was alive when he was moshech the para, just look at our mishnah about a kala. It's the same thing. So says Gemara, which part of our mishnah about the kala is the same thing? Hey kala, which din in our mishnah is Shmuel alluding to? So ilema, if you can say he's alluding to kala bebeis avia, the din. We're getting some feedback there. That if you can say that it's talking about kala bebeis avia, the din that if nimsu ba mumin. Okay, that it's talking about the din of Nimtzu Ba Mumin while she's still in her father's house, which we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, that Rabbi Elazar had said that follows the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua, that the Cheskas Mamon beats the Cheskas Haguf and the Tainas Bari, and according to him, when she's Nichlas al Rishus Habal, then the burden of proof switches to the father, even though the suffix was Nolad Birishus Habal, because he's Muchsak in the Mamon. And you see that the Bala Chamar, and from there you see the Bala Chamar has to bring a Raya, even though the Suffolk was Nolad after the Mashicha of the Para, and the Chamar is considered to be in the Rishus of the Bala Para, and therefore you follow the Cheskas Mamon. So when you have a Suffolk in the Mamon, you follow the Cheskas Baila Marishonim, who was the owner of that money, and that's the comparison between the two cases. It's still not a perfect comparison. Me Dami, are they really comparable to each other? Hasam, in the din of our Mishnah with the mum, maisi avraya umapik. When the father brings a raya, he's going to extract money from the husband. He's going to get the ksuba. Hacha, in the case of machlof para b'chamar, if the original bala chamar, who already made a kinyan on the para, is able to bring a raya that chamar was alive, maisi bala chamar raya umokim. He's going to be able to bring a raya and keep the para that he was already kona. So it's not about bringing a raya to extract money from someone else, it's bringing a raya to keep what you already have. So those two cases aren't so comparable. So Rabbi Abba, no, what Shmuel must have referred to when he compared the machlof para b'chamar case to a case of a kala in our Mishnah, is kala bebeis chamiha. It's the case where she's already in the Rishos HaBaal, where according to Rabbi Elazar, that's following the sheet of Ram Gamliel, that the Cheskas HaGuf, meaning that our Mishnah at that point was following sheet of Ram Gamliel, that the Cheskas HaGuf overpowers the Cheskas Mamon, and even though she's when she's still in her father's house, it would be the husband's raya to bring in order to keep his money, not to have to pay the ksuba. So even though the suffolk, so it turns out that even though the suffolk was nolad bebeis ha'av, the husband has to bring a raya to keep his mamon because the shtar ksuba is around and the woman has the shtar ksuba. So it's as if there's a vaday chiyuv that he for sure has a chiyuv for the ksuba and a suffolk patur, but maybe I'm not because maybe I was fooled and maybe I was she misrepresented herself. So we assume that the suffolk ksuba, that we're mamad the suffolk ksuba on the chazaka of the vaday bailin. Therefore, when you're machlif par b'chamar, where the bala chamar is coming to take someone else's money, so kolshkein he has to bring the raya in order to keep that para, even though the suffolk was not nolad b'rishuso, because we keep the para b'cheskas the vaday bailin. So says mar vakati lo dami. That's not a worthy comparison either. Hasam bal maisi raya umer le chazakidav. In the case of the Mishnah, the husband brings a raya to pater himself from the ksuba, and through that raya is needed in order to weaken the chazaka of the guf that supports the father to say that the mumen happened later on and that the husband has to pay the ksuba. So he needs to bring a raya to take away that cheskas haguf so that he doesn't have to pay the money. But in the case of the suffolk, when the chamar died, the cheskas haguf is not machriya to say that the chamar died before the mishichas hapara to help out the bala para to keep the para in his rishus. No, the cheskas haguf works in the other direction. The cheskas haguf was that the chamar was alive, and therefore, if the chamar was alive at the time of the transaction, the bala para gets the bala chamar gets to keep the para. Bala chamar maisi raya umukim chazake biyadei. The bala chamar is going to bring a raya that the chamar was alive at the time that he did the mashiach on the para, and through that he's going to keep the cheskas haguf is going to help him out, and that we don't see from the Mishnah when the cheskas haguf helps out that you don't have to bring a raya in the case of our Mishnah. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kala Bebeis Aviyah. Now the raya of Shmuel from our Mishnah is about the case of Kala Bebeis Aviyah, where the way Rav Lazar learned our Mishnah, that din is only lefi shitas Rabbi Yeshua, that the cheskas mamon overpowers a cheskas haguf, and that's why the husband is going to have the upper hand, and the father is the one that has to bring the raya, even if she's already nichnas into the Rishos HaBaal, and even though there's a cheskas haguf that helps out the taina of the father, ulekidushin. But the issue over here that he's got to bring a raya is the raya from our Mishnah that it's ala av lahavi raya, the raya to Shmuel is talking about not the money of the ksuba but the kiddushin money that the Mishnah just says ala av lahavi raya. So it sounds like he doesn't only need that raya in order to claim the ksuba money. He even needs that raya to keep the kiddushin money, where the husband is saying, you know what, I gave a very nice ring, it cost a couple $100, I would like that ring back. So he's claiming the kiddush was a mekach taos. So it turns out that it's ala avla viraya, even when she's nichnas into the Rishos HaBaal, and the suffolk was not nolad in the Beis Ha'av, and even just to keep the money that he already has, because the kiddush was already given. And that's because the suffolk is be'ikra mekach, and we're therefore mamid the mamon, becheskas the original bailim, where who it certainly that ring originally belonged to the husband, and therefore the money has to go back if the father's not able to bring a raya. So in the suffolk, when the chamar died, we say the same thing, that it's the bala chamar who has to bring a raya in order to keep the para, and any time he doesn't have a raya, he's going to have to return the para back to its original owner, because we say that the suffolk was the suffolk came up in the bailus of the para. So we look at who was the last vadai owner of that para. So now Rav Nachman explains even further, velo tema, and don't say that which we say the father has to bring a raya even to keep the kesef kiddushin is aliba demandiyamar kiddushin lav l'tibur nitnu, is going dafka according to the shita that holds that when you give kesef kiddushin it's lav l'tibur nitnu, it's not given almanas for the woman to keep it or for the father to keep it no matter what happens, meaning there is a machlokas in Masechet Bava Basra, what happens if you do a kiddushin and then the marriage doesn't happen. the chasen dies or the kala dies before the nisuin happens. So do you give the ring back? Because do we assume that he only gave the kiddushin al manas that there's going to be a nisuin, and if there's never a nisuin, then the kiddushin then the kesef kiddushin goes back. So you might say that that's we're only working within the man diyamar the kiddushin lav litibu nitnu, that it's not meant to stay with the woman. No, don't say that though. Even if you can say that kiddushin are litibun, that it's almanas, that it stays by the woman, so still the father's going to have to bring a raya just to keep the ring. Why? Hanimili kiddushin vadai. When do we say kiddushin is litibun? That's only when it's kiddushin vadai. But because of some sort of onus, the nisuin never happened. Aval kiddushin tos, when it's a kiddushin tos, then everyone agrees that the husband gets the ring back. Imaisi raya in ilo, lo. Then for sure we're going to say if the father's able to bring a raya that it was not a kiddushin tos, then he'll get to keep the ring. And if he's not able to bring a raya, then he won't be able to keep the ring. So now the Gemara has one more comparison to make. We already compared the case of the Safik Mum to a case of Machlif Par B'Chamar. Now we have one more comparison to make. Can we compare the case of Machlif Par B'Chamar to a case of a Safik Trefa of an animal? So Meisvei, the Gemara asks on Shmuel. Shmuel had said about the Machlif Par B'Chamar case. So we ask from a Braisa that talks about Dine Trefos. One of the Trefos that's mentioned in the Mishnah Masechus Chulin Daf Membeis is when you have a nekev in the Beis HaKosos, but it's got to be a nekev mefulash. It's the Beis HaKosos, one of the organs of the animal, and it has it's got a double wall. So only if the hole goes through both walls do we assume that it makes the animal a trefa. So machachin sisba ovi Beis HaKosos. If you find a needle in the thickness of the Beis HaKosos, so mitzad echad ksheva. If the hole is only on one side, so then the animal is considered to be a ksheva. Mishneit studen, but if the hole punctures all the way through from one side to the other, so then we assume mishneit studen is a trefa. That makes it a trefa. However, even a machat that's mishneit studen is only going to make the animal a trefa if that puncture happened while the animal was alive. Once the animal is shechted, it's too late for it to become a trefa. Then it's already going to be kosher. So how do you know when that needle punctured the wall of the dofen of the Beis HaKosos? So nimtza aleha koredam, if you find around the area where the machat went through, you find a little bit of blood, so biyadua shulifnei shechita, that was clotting, meaning that was before the shechita, so the blood was trying to clot, to heal the wound, and therefore you know that this animal is a trefa. If you don't find some blood clotted in the area, then you know that happened after the shechita. And therefore, if the machat was stuck in the basar, the dam didn't come out because the animal was dead already, so there was no, it wasn't going to bleed anymore. So since the behema was no longer alive, it's obviously not going to bleed. So even if you find a koradam where you know that it happened while the animal was alive, the Braisa tells us, teaches a simon to know exactly when it happened, meaning now I know I see some bleeding, so I know that it happened while the animal was alive, but I may need to know exactly when it happened because I want to know. I know I bought the animal from the butcher while it was alive, but I bought it 2 days before it died, so I want to know, was this wound here before that? And if it was there before that, then I know that it was a mekach tos. If it was only there like a second before the shechita, then it was not a mekach tos. So you have to be able to tell when it happened. How do you tell that? Huglat piyamaka, if there's already scabbing on the place where the needle goes, so where the needle is found, it takes 3 days for it to scab. So therefore, it must have happened 3 days prior to the shechita. And if the animal was sold within those last 3 days prior to the shechita, which was very common, typically the Gemara assumes that the day that you would buy the animals, the day that you would shech the animal, that's why the Mishnah Chulin says that there are four times of the year at least certain days of the year, the day that you'd buy the animals, we assume is the day that you would shech the animal, right? And one of them is Erev Yom Kippurim, is the day that you would buy the animals, the day that you would shech the animal. So when there's a demand for meat, people will shech on the same day, or certainly within a couple of days, it's likely you bought the animal. So if you know that the mum was already there, that the trefa was already there 3 days before, now you know you were cheated, you were sold the trefa animal. But lo uglipi amako, if it hasn't scabbed over yet, then amotzi mechaver la varaya. You want to claim that you were sold the trefa animal, you're going to have to bring a raya. You're not going to be able to bring a raya, because what raya could you possibly bring? Meaning we've exhausted all the rayas by looking at the treifa itself. So the Gemara is medayik from the lashon of the brisa that if you want to get money, you have to bring a raya. The yav tabach dami. So therefore, if the butcher gave money to the mocher for the behema, and now he wants the money back because he claims it was a mekach taos, boila suya raya umapik. So let him bring a raya that the treifa was there at the time that he purchased the animal, and then he'll be able to get the money. And that's the only way he'll be able to get the money. But vamai, according to Shmuel, that when we have a suffix about who owns the chamar, who owns the para, rather, we follow the last known vadai owner. And even though the suffix was not nolad bereshuso, so why is it on the lokeach who shechted the behema to bring a raya? Bal behema laisi raya v'nokim. We should say that the bal behema should bring a raya in order to be able to keep the money. And that way, he'll be able to keep the money of the lokeach. Even though the suffix was not nolad birushuso, the lokeach is the last known owner of this money. And that's what they're arguing about. They're arguing about this money. The last person we know for sure owned this money was this lokeach. So says Marino, v'deloya of tabchadami. We're talking about a case where the lokeach, over here the tabach is the lokeach, the butcher is the lokeach, because he bought it from a cattle rancher, so the butcher never gave money, the money yet. So the lokeach who shechted the behema didn't pay for it yet. And now the bala behema is coming to be tovea. You owe me the money for this animal. So that's what the Bryce is saying. You want the bala behema, the cattle rancher wants to get paid, let him bring a raya that it wasn't a treifa. So that's what it's saying. So it says, my paska. But wait, then you're making an assumption that when people buy cattle, when a butcher buys cattle from, when a shochet buys cattle, he doesn't pay for it, that he only pays later? Why would you make that assumption? Meaning, is that the way transactions normally happen? Probably sometimes yes, sometimes no, right? Sometimes you pay for things in advance and sometimes you only pay afterwards. You go to a restaurant. So if it's a place that has a waiter and waitress service, you pay after the meal. Otherwise, you go to a pizza shop, at least in town. Out of town, you always pay after. But in town, you pay in advance before you bring it to the... So there are different practices. You're just going to make an assumption like that. So says Amar Elikias or Rami Bar Yecheskel. So when Rami Bar Yecheskel came, he explained, Amar lo titzaisen lahani klali. Dekayel Yehuda Achi Mishmei de Shmuel. Don't listen to these klalim that my brother Yehuda is saying in the name of Shmuel. Shmuel never really said what he's telling you. He said, "Hachi Amar Shmuel." I'll tell you what Shmuel really said. Kol shenolad safek bereshuso, alav haraya. Whoever the safek was nolan in his reshus when he was the owner, he's the one that has to bring a raya. So it turns out that the bala para has to bring the raya because when the bala chamor was moshech the para, it's considered to be that the chamor was already in the reshus of the bala para, and therefore when we found the dead chamar, the original balapara is the one who is nolat safik bereshuso. So he's going to have to bring a raya that the chamar was already dead at the time of the transaction, and therefore he gets his para back. Vitana tuna kala, and that's where he said we have a raya from the case of kala in our mishnah, and our mishnah is going entirely like Rami Gamliel, the way Rava understood it. And from both of the dinim, we see like Shmuel, that when the mum is found in the Beis Ha'av, in the Rishus Ha'av, it's ala av lahavi raya, because we say ka nimtzu, ka nayu. And when the mum is found in the Beis Ha'bal, and the Rishus Ha'bal, it's ala bal lahavi raya, because the suffix is nolad b'rishuso. So every part of our Mishnah fits perfectly. So the Gemara asks, yeah, but what do you do with treifa? Machach nimtzis bav Beis HaKosos, the case of the Machach nimtzis bav Beis HaKosos, idu lo yav tabak dami, if the shochet hasn't paid for it yet, bal behema ba'ila suya raya. The bal behema should have to bring a raya that the machat happened, that the treifa happened after the mechira umapik, and then only then he'll get his money. But according to what Rami is saying in the name of Shmuel, why is it that he's not able to be motzi the mamon without a raya? Sveikah b'rishus tabachis yalid. The suffik happened in the rishus of the shochet, and therefore it's his problem to bring a raya. So according to Shmuel, that's the way it should have played out. So it says, no, the case is diav tabach dami, that the Bryce is talking about a case where he already did pay for it. The shochet already gave the money to the cattle rancher when he bought the behema, and now he's being tovea, the mocher. So when he says, I want my money back, so that's where the Bryce is saying, amotzi mechaver alav haraya. You want the money back, you bring a raya. Why do you have to be the one that brings a raya? Why is the tabach the one that brings a raya? The suffix was nolad, birashu so, which is exactly what I'm telling you Shmuel said. umay paskal, but now you're making an assumption that he already paid for it. Why are you making an assumption that he already paid for it? We already said, sometimes people pay in advance, sometimes they pay only afterwards. Why are you making the assumption that it was paid for in advance? Says Gemara, because that's the way it normally works. Tama de milsa, kama de loyavinish zuze, loyavinish chevasa. If I'm selling something to you, pay me, and then I'll deliver the goods. You don't pay me, I'm not going to deliver the goods. So I'm not going to trust that you're going to pay it later on. That's the stamma de milsa. That's the natural assumption. Then our Mishnah made a chilik between mumin shabaseser and mumin shabagalei. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman just fills us in over here. V'nichbek mumin shabaseser dami, that an epilepsy is a mumin shabaseser because it could be easily hidden from the husband in advance of the wedding. But that's only if she has predictable seizures where you know when it's going to happen. But if there's no predictable time that it's going to happen, kumumin shabagalei dami. Then it's inevitably it must have happened at some point where it wasn't expected, and people saw, and the husband would have found out about that. Okay, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph.